This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War. Welcome to the Invisible War radio broadcast. Today, we're talking about the power of prayer. This is Kevin Harris. Today, our host and teacher of the Invisible War, Dr. Rob Randall, will discuss the power of prayer. And I want to remind everyone that Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare is taken from his book, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy, published by 21st Century Press. And you can get your copy of this most valuable Bible study on spiritual warfare by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or you can order your copy at most any bookstore near you. Dr. Randall, we quickly ran out of time last time because you had a lot to say about the name of Jesus when we pray and praying in His name. So let's pick it up again from there and talk more about what Jesus had to say about prayer.
Kevin, it's so good to see you. And what a wonderful day. What a privilege it is for me to share with our listeners the eternal matters of heaven. We are in Matthew 6, 1 through 15. I would encourage all of our listeners to get your Bible today and turn with us, Matthew 6, to what Jesus had to say about prayer. We've talked about the motivation of prayer, how our hearts need to be right. It needs to be about the Father's will being done instead of ours, not my will, but thine be done. Our hearts need to be clean and humble when we go before the Lord. Remember, it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. We've talked about the misuse of prayer, praying out loud, praying in public, praying for personal gain, the dangers of these matters, praying with plentiful words, as if more words and flowery words and King James English words makes a more powerful prayer. How silly is that? And yet, if we're not very, very careful, all of us will fall into making little poems, saying the same thing, repetitious words over and over and over again. But these kinds of prayer have no power. We've talked about the warning of the stewardship of prayer. Remember, our Lord is keeping an account of every word that we speak. The Bible tells us very carefully that we will give an account of every idle word, every word that is spoken. And yes, every word spoken in prayer will be also judged by our Lord. Here is a caution. Once again, be careful when you pray. We've talked about the message of prayer. Pray in this way. We talked about prayer and its direction. We pray in His name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No matter how pietistic, no matter how religious, no matter how sincere your prayer is, it cannot be heard in heaven except through the name of God, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. So we pray in the name, the matchless, the wonderful, the most holy, the name that is above all other names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we come to prayer and its determination. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do we pray? We pray to get in on God's will being done for our children, our homes, our community, our schools, our government. I do not fully understand this, but the truth of the matter is that heaven moves its purposes on the earth when we pray. Do you believe it? Churches are blessed when people pray. Lives are changed when people pray. People are saved when people pray. Why? Thy will be done. God's will is that His church be blessed. God's will is that our lives be changed, homes be saved. God's will is that people are to be saved. God's will is that people be delivered and cleansed and free to do His will on the earth as it is in heaven. When you and I pray in the Father's will, God is going to act. Here is the promise of the kingdom of God, when all things will finally be as the Father's will. Do you believe today that God's kingdom can in fact come upon the earth? Of course, if you don't, there's no need to pray. That's how the Lord taught us to pray, that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. How would you recognize the kingdom of God if it came? How would you know if the kingdom of God showed up at your church, or my church, or in our homes, or in our lives? I want us to look at a passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. Would you look at it with me? The Bible makes it very, very plain, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What an amazing passage this is. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. The use of the word kingdom refers to the territory where the king rules and reigns. So what I want us to look at today is, how does one rightly relate to the kingdom of God? When one enters into the territory of the king, how would we know we have come into his kingdom? First, we have the negative. And those who know and have studied the original language, the use of the word order is very important to its understanding. Another translation would read, not in words is the kingdom, but in power. The kingdom of God does not consist in the declaration of words. You know, we live, Kevin, in a time when we have relegated Christianity to the impartation of words, as though we can win our world through the mere intellectual challenge of other religions. Why, if they were told the truth, if they could just somehow understand the historical facts of the Christian faith, they would recant their beliefs and come to Christ. So much of our energy is spent to build up our intellectual educational defenses of our faith. We call it apologetics. Many of our so-called Christian institutions are citadels of intellectual pursuits with the primary goal of protecting the Christian faith through intellectual exercises, and establishing a list of acceptable doctrine while refuting all other thoughts, even if only unfamiliar and unstudied. Which is to say, we have a broad movement in the church today that prides itself in canonizing the belief system that God doesn't move today the way He used to. Now think of that. It is about believing certain facts, certain doctrines, as opposed to seeing His power come upon the earth. As though if we say this enough and educate enough of our leaders long enough to dedicate themselves to the impartation of truth, then God will be best served. Don't get me wrong. Please don't hear what I didn't say. In no way am I diminishing the importance of truth. If you've heard the invisible war for very long, you know how important the truth of God is. The Scripture clearly teaches that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But truth spoken without the power of God can be destructive, and at the very least, a wasteful exercise in futility. You know, I can speak the truth in the flesh and destroy those who are listening. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Once again, look at me at the context of this passage. Verse 18 through 21, it is as if Paul is saying, don't me come down there, for if I do, when I come, we're not going to find out who can talk. We're going to find out who has the power. We're going to throw down the gauntlet. He says, we're going to find out who really can exhibit the power of Almighty God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The kingdom of God does not consist in the declaration of words alone. The kingdom of God does consist in the demonstration of God's power. Look at verse 20. Just a casual student of the Bible sees over and over again this truth in the biblical record. People are healed. The dead are raised. Demons are expelled. Lives are forever changed. Zacchaeus, Peter, Mary Magdalene, Matthew, John, Lazarus, Pentecost, on and on I could go. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to set the captives free. He came to bring recovering of sight to the blind. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. When we see the 70 sent out to evangelize two by two, look at the report of what they said as they came back to give the report. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Luke 10, verse 17. This power that you have delegated to us is unmistakable. I want to ask you, as you gather in the name of the Lord in your church, is the power of God unmistakable? Is it? And in the book of Acts, you see a church that is on fire with the power of God, confronting their pagan culture through a power encounter of the Spirit of God. Now, what do we mean by power? No doubt, there are those who have become real uncomfortable with this message already. You're asking, where is he going with this? There is today, within evangelical Christianity, weird practices that are announced by the practitioners to be the result of an anointing and power of God. People barking like dogs, acting like animals, howling at the moon, passing out with laughter when the preacher says nothing that's really funny. It is necessary to understand that what we believe is therefore what we practice. What you believe is what you do. Everything else is just talk. It is genuine faith revealed in God's Word, and our so-called Christianity becomes no more and no less than an exercise in traditional religion. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. A message like this one would be easy to preach and share if we were to stop here. However, let's look at one more truth that must be applied. The kingdom of God and the demonstration of its power comes only through the impartation of the Spirit of God. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The impartation of the Spirit of God is that which rightly relates us to the kingdom of God. As you know, the Bible teaches that when we are born again, the Spirit of God baptizes us into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. That when a person is saved, his or her body becomes the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And although one has the Spirit of Christ dwelling within, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:15 through 18 that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Turn there with me. Ephesians 5:15 through 18. The Bible tells us that it is God's will to be filled with the Spirit. It is wise to be filled with the Spirit. It is foolish for a Christian not to be filled with the Spirit. It is essential to be filled with the Spirit for fellowship, verse 19, for fellowship with each other, for fellowship with God, for the sake of unity in the church, verse 21, and for the sake of God's peace and order in the home. How is a Christian filled with the Spirit? How does this happen? Believe and obey God's Word. Be filled with the Spirit. Ask today for the filling of His Spirit. Number two, spend time waiting before the Lord in prayer. Acts 1:4. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And number three, crucify the flesh. Romans 6 through Romans 8. The war between the flesh and the Spirit. We're all in that war as believers. Romans 8:13. Recognize that in and of the flesh there is no good thing. Take up your cross daily and follow me. not my will, but thine be done. Crucify the flesh. And number four, submit totally to the control of God, to the lordship of Christ in every area of your life. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It is through the empowering of the Spirit of God that we are rightly related to the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in the demonstration of His power. Remember, Jesus said, as He taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." If we are to know the kingdom of God in and through our lives, we must be rightly related to Him through the empowering of the Spirit of Almighty God. He also says a word here concerning prayer and its dependence. "Give us this day our daily bread." How blasphemous is it to call upon the Lord when your trust is not in Him? Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. Philippians 4, 19. "My Father always signed His name, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, I've met people in ministry that wanted me to pray over their business, even though they were not willing to dedicate their lives to the Lord. I want you to know today, God cannot be fooled. He is Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I remember a time when a pastor invited me to pray over a business. One of his members asked me to come to a business to pray over it. And before the prayer meeting, we were under an old shed, tin shed. I'll never will forget it. He began to show me his business, and it was a very prominent business in Central Texas. I asked him, I said, "How did you get this business? How did it become so prosperous?" He said, "You really want to know?" I said, Yeah, tell me how all this came about." He said, "Well, when I needed something, I would have a party, and I would invite prostitutes, and I would have liquor. If I needed pipe or if I needed wire, I'd invite the wire guys or the pipe guys or whatever I needed. And I'd say, 'All right, which one of these gals do you want?' And that's how I built this business." And he was proud of that. Now you think of that. He was proud to tell me how he built his business through the compromise of sin. And yet he wanted me to pray over that business. Now, Kevin, I want to tell you something. It took everything I could to hang in there. But I didn't want to dishonor that pastor. I didn't want to cause him trouble. So we went and I prayed as quickly, and I knew the Lord wasn't going to hear that prayer. I knew there wasn't going to be any blessing to that fella. Are you kidding? God can't be fooled. You can't token Him or pay Him $30 or $50 and expect a blessing. How ridiculous, how blasphemous it is for any of us to think that we can receive the blessing of God when we're not trusting fully in His provision. Not our tricks, not our ability, not our understanding, not our money, not our inheritance, but in Him as our provision. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, may I say a word about this day? Many of us are concerned about the tomorrows. I understand that. I have a family. I have grandchildren. There are things that all kinds of concerns that tomorrows will bring. But the Lord taught us not to be concerned about the tomorrows. He'll take care of that. He is Jehovah there too. He is Jehovah Jireh in the tomorrows. We are to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Of course, He taught us in this prayer, a word of praying and its debts. "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Something owed. Herein lies the idea of redemption. The price of something owed. Forgiveness. Yes. "For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions," verse 14 through verse 15. Forgiveness is not an option. May I say that again? Today, if you have bitterness toward anyone, you need to forgive them. It's not an option for those who have come to Christ, for the one who has been forgiven of Christ. what Christ has given us through His forgiveness, we must give to others.
Dr. Randall, we've run out of time at a very crucial point as you're talking about forgiveness, the need for us to humble ourselves, for us to be forgiven, for us to forgive, and how forgiveness is not an option. That's what this program is all about, the invisible war. So if you would take this time to lead us all in prayer, we would really appreciate it.
I want to encourage you right where you are. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, I can't imagine an issue more serious than the issue of forgiveness. How arrogant it is for any of us, and many of us have been guilty, to hold on to grudges, to be offended and hold on to those offenses, even though our Lord has forgiven us. Would you make an altar right where you are? Would you humble yourself before the Lord as we all join our hearts together in prayer? Father, You are able. We thank You for Your cleansing. We thank You, Lord, that Your blood is enough blood for all sin, not just ours, but even for those who have hurt us. I pray, Lord, that that same love and forgiveness that we have experienced at Calvary, we would be able to express to You. We give You our wounds. Heal them in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask You, Lord, that You would heal us, bring us to the place where Jesus Christ is greater, greater than the attacks and wounds of the enemy. Take us to the place where we know that His blood is enough. You declared as You gave Your life that it was finished. No more blood needs to be shed for sin. So, Lord, we embrace You today. We thank You for loving us. And we ask that You would cleanse us today from everything that would separate us from giving Your forgiveness to others. And we pray it in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, if you've prayed with us today, we'd love to hear from you. Would you contact us on our website? You can give us your prayer request. Share with us those names of those that you are burdened for today, that you're praying for. TheInvisibleWar.org. That's TheInvisibleWar.org. Or you can contact us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. We do so look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Rob. And remember, it is through your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you and to the many hurting and wounded among us. If you've been blessed by this program, would you give us as generous a gift as our Lord would lead you to give? You can make your investment into this ministry by going to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or call us toll-free, 877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. If you don't have access to a computer, you can send your letters and support to Rob Randall Evangelistic Ministries, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. That's P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. We look forward to hearing from you. Please do it today. We have heard from so many of you over the last several months of how this program has ministered to your life. You have heard the incredible teaching on spiritual warfare from Dr. Randall, as well as many personal testimonies from very special guests. But we want to hear from many more of you. We would love to hear how God has transformed your life and how you have faced the enemy with boldness to conquer his destructive schemes. We want to share some of these stories of victory by reading some of them on the air, or even the possibility of having you join us as a very special guest in an upcoming broadcast. Your story may be exactly what other listeners need to hear to turn the corner and begin to apply the same valuable principles that Rob shares on a regular basis. Write your story and send it to us by email at askrob@theinvisiblewar.org. Or you can send your letters to The Invisible War, P.O. Box 5, McKinney, Texas, 75070. You can also go to our website at theinvisiblewar.org and go to the Contact Us section and find an option that works best for you to send it to us. Your story of healing and victory may be just the exact message others need to hear to find the same victory in their lives. So email us today with yours. That's askrob@theinvisiblewar.org.
Thank you so much for listening today. We look forward to our broadcast next week as we continue to study the Word of God concerning these eternal matters in the invisible war.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.